Next case is 98-1707, Dayton Bar Association versus Gordon H. Lewis.
Yes, also that any property that taxes pay is a civil property, the taxes are already not left to the city, but the charter is not happening. And that is not necessarily that it's public.
Thank you, Speaker. Ms. Palmer.
Thank you, Speaker. Court. My name is Amy Palmer. I'm co-counsel for the debater, State Bar Association, and I'm here with counsel, Alice Crusher. This case is about Mr. Lewis's pattern of misconduct as an officer of the court. Mr. Lewis's pattern of misconduct occurred in both professional and personal life. The pattern of misconduct in his professional life occurred with the representation of a woman named Tina Marie Smith. He represented her in a bankruptcy petition with Tony Smith. A refund check was issued payable to the order of Tina Marie Smith for $1,163.50. When Mr. Lewis received the refund check, instead of forwarding it to his client, Mr. Lewis instructed his secretary to sign his client's name on the back of the check. He instructed his secretary to mimic his client's signature on the back of the check. He claimed he was fascinated with his employee's ability to mimic the signature of the client. And while the issue of whether Mr. Lewis failed to properly notify Mr. Lewis of the receipt of the refund check or failed to gain her consent prior to ordering the secretary to sign her name are disputed, I would offer that the panel before the commissioners have the opportunity to view both the demeanor of Mr. Lewis at the June 11th hearing this year and Ms. Smith by way of videotape testimony. And the board specifically found that Mr. Lewis failed to promptly notify the consent that he received a refund check and failed to gain her consent prior to the adjudication of the test. Mr. Lewis's misconduct continued. Mr. Lewis deposited a full amount of the refund check into his client trust account on December 19, 1995. Within weeks of that deposit, the trust account balance was depleted. Mr. Lewis claims that, on the one hand, the fees constituted his own personal attorney fees that he could spend however he wished. However, this argument ignores the fact that depositing one's personal fees into a client trust account would constitute coming in. Mr. Lewis also offered that there was a legitimate fee dispute and that he reached a deal with his client in January 1996 to send her $400 of the check and keep the rest of his attorney fees. However, Mr. Lewis's argument ignores the fact that by the time he reached the deal with his client, he no longer had the money left to give her back. Mr. Lewis admits he doesn't know what happened to the money. Mr. Lewis admits he does not keep an accurate account and books and records. Mr. Lewis admits that he does not bill his client or keep accurate accounts of his time spent on that basis. The upshot of all this is that his client had to wait 5 months after working out a deal with her attorney to get her $400. His client had to wait 5 months and complain to the Navy Bar Association, the bankruptcy court, and the fraud division of the Montgomery County Prosecutor's Office before she could get her money. The board found that Mr. Lewis' conduct was misconduct in violation of the town's federal legislative complaint, and we would urge that this court adopt the board's finding. Mr. Lewis' pattern of misconduct spilled over to his personal life as well. Mr. Lewis failed to file his income tax returns for 1991, 92, 93, 94, 95, and 96. And Mr. Lewis' conduct in failing to file his tax return alone were not enough to warrant sanction by the court. We would also add that Mr. Lewis was specifically ordered by the federal bankruptcy court to file his tax return and to produce proof of filing or extension to the claim he had at a hearing set on December 10th, 1996. Mr. Lewis not only failed to comply with the federal court order to file his income tax return, he failed to show up at the hearing period. Mr. Lewis also represented to the bankruptcy trustee that he had extensions for filing tax returns. Mr. Lewis was offered an approval of extensions and that even for filing, he did not have any extensions. Mr. Lewis also misrepresented to an investigator from the State Bar Association that he had filed 91, 92, and 93 income tax returns, when at the time of his representation, he paid off by the $10,000. Mr. Lewis also made repeated promises to the investigator that he would produce his income tax return and repeatedly failed to live up to those promises. In fact, to this day, Mr. Lewis still has not produced the extension to the money he has. And even if all of Mr. Lewis's misconduct was set aside, and the only issue before the court is whether this court should discipline an attorney for failing to file their income tax return without prior conviction, we would argue that the court can and should discipline attorneys when they repeatedly fail to file their income tax return. This court has expressed severe disapproval of attorneys who repeatedly fail to file their income tax return in Cincinnati Bar Association versus Medina and Disciplinary Council versus South. In both of those cases, the attorneys were convicted of some years, but this court considers other years in which the attorneys were convicted when disciplining the attorney. Other states, such as Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, and Washington, have also disciplined attorneys for failing to file their income tax return repeatedly without prior conviction. Attorneys in the same exact position as Mr. Lewis. In these cases, will apply to the court in related supplemental list of authority. We would urge that this court, like Mr. Lee, penalize attorneys who repeatedly fail to file their income tax return when such repeated failure to file rises to the level of willfulness under the federal statute. We do not need to wait for a government to act to discipline attorneys. In fact, we discipline them all the time for acts that would arguably constitute crimes of stealing client funds without waiting for them to be convicted at a time. In this case, it's been different. As a relator, we would urge that the court adopt the board's findings and conclusions and the recommended sanction of indefinite suspension based on Mr. Lewis' prior disciplinary history in 1993, he was suspended for 2 years with a suspended, and based on the clear pattern of misconduct in both professional and personal life.
Tax return issues, counsel. You know, in this case, to me, that when that's coupled with the other issues of forging signatures and not segregating funds and having had a prior discipline that, you know, a wake-up call that was attributed to alcoholism, you know, this respondent is, I think, in worse trouble than you want to concede in terms of how he conducts his practice, even after having prior discipline.
To our sanction,
For each petition submitted, you'll be advised of our opinion.